singing this morning. Hey, those, you're welcome to join in on our children's worship this morning if you would like to this morning. Is there an exit and on back to that? We do have nursery available as well, also back in that hallway if needed this morning. And we love having kiddos in here with us this morning. So welcome to join in either spot there with us today. All right, dads, I've got good news for you. I'm not picking on dads today in the Father's Day message. Is that all right with you? All right? No. We're going to continue on with Elijah this morning, and we're going to take a look at just a couple of verses in a segment of it. It's kind of like a little interlude spot, but there's a lot that God is doing right in this interlude. It's right after the battle that happened on top of Mount Carmel. It's right after the prophets of Baal have been defeated, right after they've been kind of taken care of, and it's right before the rain actually comes and the drought is completely ended. And so if you got your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to 1 Kings. We're going to be in chapter 18. We're going to pick it up in verse 41. We're going to do just about 5 to 6 verses there, verses 41 through 46. And while you're turning there, I want to encourage you to try and make every effort to be with us next Sunday morning. And the reason why is because next Sunday morning's message is going to focus on a familiar passage maybe that we know with Elijah, but we're going to talk about spiritual depression next Sunday morning. And I think God's got some big instructions for us. And what are some of the causes of it? What are some of the ways that God's at work in the middle of it? What is the ways that God's grace is right there in the middle of it for Elijah? And how does he bring healing from spiritual depression? And so I would just say, I think this Sunday is also an important Sunday, but I think next Sunday, just the message and the passage that we're going to be in can be a powerful one for you, maybe for some friends too, and you don't have to tell them why, you say, hey, I think this would be a great Sunday to be together for worship. And I do think that about every Sunday, but I just know where we're kind of headed in the next message. 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 41 through 46. Elijah said to Ahab, okay, once again, just remind you, Ahab is the evil king, okay? Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of a rainstorm. The drought has been happening. Now Elijah hears the sound of a rainstorm. I don't know. We're going to read here in a few moments. He can't even see a cloud yet. Somehow he hears it. Maybe he hears it because the Lord is giving him the hearing to hear it. Maybe he's like Tonto and puts his ear to the ground. Do you even remember Lone Ranger and Tonto could hear like anything that was coming for 4 days ahead? I don't know. But somehow, Elijah knows that the rain is coming. So Ahab, verse 42, so Ahab went to eat and drink, but Elijah went up to the summit of Carmel. He bowed down on the ground and he put his face between his knees. Then he said to his servant, go up and look toward the sea. So he went up, looked, and said, there's nothing. 7 times Elijah said, go back. On the 7th time he reported, there's a cloud as small as a man's hand coming from the sea. Then Elijah said, go and tell Ahab, get your chariot ready and go down so the rain doesn't stop you. In a little while, the sky grew dark with clouds and wind, and there was a downpour. So Ahab got in his chariot and went to Jezreel. The power of the Lord was on Elijah, and he tucked his mantle under his belt, and he ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. I hope you will see throughout this morning the way that God's power is on Elijah, and also the way that God's power may be resting on you or can rest on you as well. First thing I'd like to share from these verses this morning, 1, we need to celebrate God's promises even before they come to pass. We need to celebrate his promises. So in this very first verse, he says to Ahab, get up, eat and drink. What he's telling Ahab to do is to go celebrate that the drought is over. Go ahead, return back to normal. Go eat and drink. Maybe he's been fasting for that day because of all the stuff that was going on with the prophets of Baal. Maybe he's just been tied up by all the activities. Maybe they've even been fasting and trying to worship Baal, the false god, in order to get rain to come. But it is time to celebrate what God has done. Go eat and drink, and it hasn't even rained yet. In our human world, we typically wait until after an event to celebrate it, right? I mean, the old phrase, don't count your chickens before they're hatched, right? We've experienced those moments when we thought we were going to have a win and it didn't finish out that way. We have experienced, as St. Louis Cardinals fans, a pitcher by the name of Isringhausen, that when we would get to the ninth inning, he would blow it, and we were winning, and he would, you know, you thought you were going to have it, but he would blow it. Or maybe you've experienced that basketball game that you were leading, and somebody threw that half-court buzzer-beater shot, and it just turned the game around in that last half second. And maybe you've also watched that NASCAR race, and I should probably remember the drivers. I think it's happened a couple times. The guy who's leading, but on the last lap, he runs out of gas, or the engine gives way, or he crashes on the last lap. We usually, in our human world, we want to wait until everything is completed to celebrate. But folks, when we have God's promises, we don't have to wait to celebrate God's promises until they pass, because his promises are a sure thing. He tells them to go ahead and celebrate. Every Sunday morning that we get together, folks, is a celebration. And so often we think about Sunday morning as being a celebration of the cross, and it sure is. It absolutely is. We are celebrating what God has done. But also every Sunday morning when we get together, we are celebrating what God is still going to do. He is going to return. He is going to save the lost. He is going to complete works of sanctification in our lives. He is going to do the things that he has promised to do. And so on Sunday mornings, yes, we look back, but we also gather because we are celebrating the promises that are coming. Every time that we take the Lord's Supper, that is a remembrance, but Jesus also asked us to do it until he returns. And so even in celebrating the Lord's Supper, we are also celebrating his promise that we are going to do it. Kids, young people, any of us who were teenagers at one point, when parents left and they said, clean your room before I get home. The reason you cleaned your room is because you expected them to return. Well, some of you cleaned your room. Some of you still got shocked by the car pulling in and you threw everything in the closet in 30 seconds, right? But the reason we did those things is because we knew they were going to return. We were still looking forward on their promise. We can celebrate God's promises even before they come to pass. Jesus tells us, Matthew 16:18, I will build my church and the forces of Hades will not overpower it. Folks, we have a reason to celebrate. The gates of hell cannot withstand Christ's church. That's a promise. That's something that's worth celebrating. We have reason to celebrate. John echoes this at the very end of Revelations. When Jesus says in Revelations 22:20, he says, yes, I am coming quickly. John turns into celebration and says, amen. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Jesus gives a promise. John celebrates. Folks, we can celebrate God's promises before they come to pass. We can stop worrying about when he's coming and live with a heart full of the truth that he is coming. That's the good news. Elijah knew this already. Earlier in 1 Kings chapter 8, around verse 56, says, may the Lord be praised. He has given rest to his people Israel according to all he has said. Not one of all the good promises he's made through his servant Moses has failed. They know everything that God has said, a promise is a sure thing. We can celebrate them before they even come. God has sent fire to bring his people back to faith in him. Now God has promised to send rain. What's the rain going to do? They've been in 3 years of drought, folks. What do you think the food supplies are like? There's a famine going on. There's livestock, if not human death, also happening. God is now sending rain. He has renewed their faith. Now he's going to even renew their lives. He's going to send the provision of food via rain. He's giving these promises. They can celebrate. Whenever we see God's promises, we need to see two things about them, folks. His promises tell us he is providing. We see that. We also see his grace. Because so often when God gives a promise, his promise is dependent on him. It's not on us. And so out of his grace, he gives a promise to say, I'm going to do this. And it is not dependent upon us. That is a huge act of God's grace in his promises for us. Let's celebrate his promises before they're even coming. I think we ought to get to do that with birthdays, right? So celebrate, maybe some of you don't want to celebrate any more birthdays, I don't know. But let's celebrate those things. Folks, what would it look like if we as a church were celebrating today the salvations that God's going to do in the coming weeks? That's what it looks like to trust the promises of God. Let's celebrate him. And that's what Elijah is even encouraging King Ahab to do. Get up and go and eat. Number two this morning, we want to act on God's promises. Don't just celebrate them, but we want to act on them even as they are coming. One of the ways that we can act on them is we can pray for them. All throughout these adventures, these incredible miracles that Elijah is a part of, he's gotten a promise from God, an instruction from God, and he's gone into prayer over that item. He knows it's God's word, he knows it's God's will, and he dives into prayer over that, and so he gets to be a part of being active. He's praying for God's promises. God's promises are an invitation to powerful prayer. Before this rain comes, where do we find Elijah in these couple of verses that we just read? He's back to praying, right? He gets alone on the mountain and he bows down. These verses we just read, it says his face is between his knees. It's a position of intense prayer. And if you're like me and you're not so flexible, if my head was between my knees, it would be an intense position of prayer, right? But that is, he's humbling himself. He's in prayer. James 5, verses 17 and 18, talks about Elijah in the New Testament. And from James 5, it tells us that Elijah prayed that it would not rain. He prayed on the front end. And it tells us that then he prayed that it would rain. Funny thing is, we don't have those prayers words recorded in the Old Testament, but we learn what he prayed about in the New Testament. So we see at this time on top of the mountain, he's praying for that rain to come. He's praying in line with God's promises. He can hear a rainstorm. He can hear a rainstorm, but he doesn't stop praying until it's there. Wow. Maybe that's what I should have done Friday night while we were trying to get a movie going. It would have been the opposite, but you know, Elijah, they see a small cloud, smaller than a fist, and he keeps on praying. I saw a cloud and heard a rumble of thunder off in the distance. And I was like, yep, we're sunk. But either way, do we pray all the way through an event? Do we pray all the way through, even when we see God start to do it? You know why Elijah is going to pray all the way through it? Because when we pray all the way up through the end of God completing it, we are constantly reminded it is God who's doing it. And so he stays dependent on God all the way through that. He's praying, and seven times he sends his servant to look. What do you think was going through that servant's mind? Elijah, give it a rest. It hasn't rained in 3 years. I've looked once. I've looked twice. I mean, at what point, when you're like being asked by somebody else to go do something for them, and they keep asking over and over again, at what point does your irritation level start to grow a little? But what do you think also went through that servant's mind the seventh time he went to look? There. Elijah was modeling something even for his servant. And we don't hear a whole lot about a servant, but he was modeling something for him, a trust that just continues, a trust that's founded in prayer. Keep looking even when you don't see it. Keep praying even when it's not there yet. When it's God's promise, it can be trusted. He is going to do his work. It is coming. God still works through the prayers of his people. He invites us to pray according to his word. He loves to answer such prayers. John 15:7 says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want and it will be done for you. Condition? My words remain in you. Have the promises of God in you. Pray through those, and whatever you're asking, within God's will, within his words, it will be done for us. Praying all the way. It reminds us it was him. We can act on God's promises by praying for them, but we can also prepare for God's answers. We can prepare for them. Elijah instructs Ahab, says to the king, get your chariot ready and go down the mountain so the rain doesn't stop you. God answers prayers, folks, but he expects us to do our parts to be ready for the answers. I probably drove my parents nuts with these things, but any of you remember the little spring-loaded kids' toys with the suction cup on the bottom of them? poppers is maybe what I call them. You know, you licked it so it was good and the suction cup would work really well. You either stuck it to the window or to the floor. You pushed it down. It sat there for a few seconds, and then it would spring up and jump, right? Okay. Yes, some of you were cursed by those too. But you watch kids play with them. Watch a little kid play with them. They love it. They get it. They get it stuck. You're showing it to them. And if you have just the right age of kid, that little popper is there. And when the thing jumps, they cry, right? It spooks them. It's like they wanted it, but then they didn't want it. But then they want you to do it again. They get startled by it again. And you're kind of like, catch on. It's a spring. It's going to do this every time. Why are you startled by it? But folks, we do the same thing. We ask God to do something. We pray for him to do it, but then we don't prepare to receive the blessing that he's going to give if it's in his promises for us. One of the things that growing churches do is they prepare proactively, not reactively. It is just well documented, folks, that growing from a church that runs 75 or 80 to a church that runs 100 to 120 is a big shift for churches. That is a big change for churches to go through. Churches that make those changes successfully, they didn't typically wait for 120 people to show up on a Sunday morning and go, oh, now what do we do? They proactively plan and prepare for it. They're preparing in faith before it happens. You'll notice in our tear-off sheet, we regularly are going to keep recruiting individuals to help in children's worship, to help as greeters, to help in nursery, because we want to be in the spot that as God continues to bless with new families coming, that we'll be in a spot where we are not reacting, but we've already expected God to do what we're praying and asking God to do. It would be silly to do some other way. Right now on Wednesday nights, we're meeting with men who choose to come to men's Bible study on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock, and we're studying what a deacon is. And if you were to go into the book of Acts and look and see why were the deacons, were they first called, it was because the church was growing. And they had to prepare for that growth. They responded to the growth. And in that section, honestly, they were kind of reactionary. But they got in front of it and they figured out, this is what we need to do to be co-laborers alongside the apostles so the apostles can keep on teaching, but we can take care of the ministries that were needed. And so they were preparing to be able to minister to more individuals. We're training men to have those ideas within our churches. As we pray for God's blessing, as we ask for God's blessing on the road church, can I ask you a question? How are you preparing, how are you serving for future growth at the road church? What things are going through your minds? What ways are you helping us to prepare for God to do what he says he wants to do? If we went into Hebrews chapter 11, we could go after hero of the faith in Hebrews 11, and we'll see the phrase over and over again, by faith. That phrase shows up over and over again. By faith, they did these actions. But if we went a little farther through the verses, we would also constantly see they were heirs of the promise. They knew the one whose promise and is faithful. They received the promise, or they received the promises. You will start seeing those phrases over and over again in Hebrews chapter 11 as well. They were able to act by faith because they received the promises of God. And they were acting on the promises of God. They were doing just what God had promised he would take care of for. They acted because of God's promises. Sometimes they acted in incredible ways. Sometimes they acted in very practical and just simple acts of obedience too. Every farmer already knows this principle. They don't wait for enough rain to fall and then plant their crops. By then it's too late. They got to plant the seed, work the ground, get the equipment ready, prepare everything, and trust God for the growth, all while they're making practical preparations to be able to take care of the crop and to harvest it, even before it's happened. Notice the timing. Elijah said one prayer, last week's message, fire fell immediately. Sometimes God works that way. That's the timing this time. He's praying, I don't even know how long, these seven times of sending a servant out to look. He's praying and still waiting for that rain, that promise to come. I don't know where you are on that spectrum. Maybe things in your life, you're waiting for God to answer that prayer and you're hoping he'll answer it instantly. Maybe he's going to answer it after prayer number seven. But I tell you what, if it's in his promises for you, he is going to answer it. So let's prepare for it to come. Number three this morning, serve in the power of the Lord. Verse 46, the power of the Lord was on Elijah. He tucked his mantle under his belt and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. I'm a wuss. I'm trying to run again. I run about 3 times a week. Right now I'm about 4 miles. I would like to get up to where I could do 5 miles about 3 times a week, okay? It is a slow 4 miles. It's a slow 4 miles. Elijah ran 17 miles. Some estimates even put it over 20, but somewhere around 17 miles, staying in front of a chariot. I think I just found out where Tishba is from, Elijah's home. It has to be in Kenya. With all those marathon runners that come from Kenya, right? I mean, if your population is always running from lions, the only thing you're left with is fast people, right? That's kind of the way that works. I don't know. I don't know if this is a physical miracle or not, okay? Is it possible for somebody to run 17 miles? It is. I don't know how fast that chariot was going. It sounds pretty supernatural to me for this guy to run 17 miles. He's coming from a mountain, so it's not exactly flat ground. He's staying in front of a chariot, but I want you to see what I think is an even more incredible miracle. I want you to see the miracle of the power of the Lord being on Elijah to serve. Who's Ahab? The most evil king Israel has known. What's just happened? Previously, Ahab wanted Elijah dead. That kind of ruins friendship usually, okay? Not only that, he's been searching for Elijah. When he finds Elijah, he calls Elijah the troubler of Israel, blames the drought on Elijah. Elijah knows it's not him. The battle at the top of Mount Carmel with the prophets of Baal, that happens. Ahab has seen the prophets, his false prophets of Baal, be killed. And now Elijah has prayed for fire. It fell. Elijah is praying for rain. The storm is coming. Elijah is the victor here, folks. He is the champion of any of these battles that have happened with King Ahab at this point. And King Ahab is the filth of the earth, so to speak. And at this point, the power of the Lord rests on Elijah, and he runs ahead of Ahab's chariot. That's a place of service, folks. To run ahead of the king's chariot is to submit yourself to be an announcer for the king, to be a servant of the king, to be a herald, to go in front and declare the king is coming and to prepare the way for this king. Do you see the power of the Lord on Elijah? He has humbled himself, and in that, in serving the king, he's giving an invitation for King Ahab to follow the Lord. He's giving an invitation to, instead of being an adversary to the king, to be an aid to the king, to be a servant to the king. Wow. Folks, running 17 miles, I think, is a lot easier than humbling ourselves to serve somebody that's been your enemy. You may experience the greatest power of the Lord on your life when you choose to faithfully serve the Lord by serving someone else who's incredibly difficult. Someone you may not even like, someone, if you're like Elijah, and they're like Ahab, someone you may even have legitimate reasons not to like. I would call wanting you dead probably a pretty legitimate reason. It may even be someone who hates the things of God, who hates the things of Christ, yet you may not be serving God if you are not willing to serve them. I'm not talking about serving them in some way that dishonors God, but I'm talking about serving them in a way that honors God. Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 28 says, Jesus is speaking, he says, but I say to you who listen, love your enemies, do what is good to those who hate you, Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. The power of the Lord was on Elijah, not only to run, but to serve in his power. Hero dads, I want to just brag on you. I know many dads are faithfully serving their families and faithfully serving God. Maybe you are working a difficult job. Maybe you're working with a difficult boss, but you are serving God and serving your family even as you serve that boss. Maybe it's a man you don't even respect, but you are serving faithfully because you are humbling yourself into that situation. Teenagers, can I beg of you, do not go looking for the perfect job. Perfect jobs are like perfect churches. They don't exist. Because you're not perfect. Sorry, neither am I. As soon as we show up, it's imperfect. Don't go looking for those. We're always going to be called to submit and to serve under folks who are less than perfect. And it takes the power of the Lord to do that. Elijah's experiencing that. I don't remember my dad ever coming home from work and being super excited about his job. I just can't remember that. I don't remember him ever thinking he was looking forward to it. To be honest, I know my dad came home tired on some days. I don't really remember him coming home upset about his job or freaked out about his job. I guess I do have to say my dad's job at one time was under the heading of the CIA, so there was that kind of whole I have to kill you if I tell you about my job. But I don't remember him having any one of those extremes. I just know he went to work. And he provided for his family. I don't even know what his bosses were like. The only thing I know is that my dad was in an era, and he was for the government, he was a cartographer, if I'm saying it right, map maker, okay? And so he helped create the maps, and we don't have to kill you for telling you this at this point. He helped create the maps for the F-15 fighter jets and their navigation systems. But when he was working in that role, they also made the switch from film, analog, to digital. And he helped them select the digital equipment they were going to move to. And as soon as the digital equipment was installed, Dad said, I'm retired, I'm out of there. So I can't help but think, he was ready. You know, he was ready to be done. He served that role, and yet he faithfully served in that. Faithfully serve. Faithfully serve, but you got to do it in the power of the Lord. Because can I tell you something else, folks? You can't serve without the power of the Lord. You can't. It'll be burnout. It'll be frustration. It'll be anger. It'll be disappointment. It will be, you put the whole, has anybody ever experienced any of those? The only way we serve is by serving in the power of the Lord. Otherwise, we're going to constantly want to make it about us. Serve in the power of the Lord. It's what Elijah has done. He's humbled himself. He's running ahead. Dads, thank you. Thank you for not quitting when it got tough. Thank you for serving under difficult people. Thank you for serving our country for many of you. Thank you. The best invitation you may ever give to coworkers, the best invitation to Christ you may ever give, may come through the way that you are serving others in his power. Elijah serves. The power of the Lord rests on him. If that's by God's power, was 17 miles as far as he could go? He could go just as far as God wanted empowered him to go. Where you're serving right now, if it's a difficult place, if you're serving in the Lord's power, there's not a limit to how you're able to serve there, folks. There's not. Don't we ever play these mind games in our heads? 6 months, that's it, I'm out of here. We do that? We put a time limit on how long God could empower us. Elijah think, hey, all right, Lord, I'll do this for about 2 miles. No. If we're serving in God's power, his infinite resources are our strength. And they're available. They're only prayers and obedience away. When Spurgeon was preaching on this passage, he likened this passage to thinking about having that piece of flint and having a piece of steel and having the tinder in order to start a fire, okay? And as he preached his passage, he said, we may look at those prayers that happened maybe seven times waiting for that rainstorm to come. We may look at all these miles that Elijah is running. But when it's God's power, we know it's there. We know God's power is there. We just keep doing the things that make it available. So he's taking that flint and taking that piece of steel and striking it and striking it. And if you've ever done that to start a fire, you may discover, yes, it takes more than just one to see that fire start. But if you got a good piece of steel and a good piece of flint, you're not worried about a fire coming. You're just waiting for it to start. We get to do that with the Lord's power. We get to be in that spot where we're saying, God, I'm just doing exactly what you've called me to do. I'm going to see your power at work here. At some moment, it's coming in your promises. I finished by asking this morning. Who are you in this story? This is a real story. This really happened. This is biblical truth. It's history, folks. But as we read it, God oftentimes in God's word wants us to also identify with folks in the story. And so I would ask, who are you in this story? Are you the servant that somebody keeps pushing you, say, hey, go a little farther, go look again, trust God a little longer, and you're still waiting to see that fist of a cloud coming? Hang in there. Are you Elijah, and you're trying to rest in the power of the Lord, and you're letting him guide you for serving? Awesome. Keep it up. He keeps empowering. I would tell you this morning that all of us at some point in our lives, we've been Ahab. We've been Ahab in that we have been an enemy of God, and yet he's chosen to serve us in sending his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. And when we look at maybe difficult situations to serve in, Jesus has given us a model. And because of his love, because of his power, because of his spirit resting on our life, if you are a believer in Christ, you can. You can switch from being Ahab to being Elijah. That's good news, folks. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes this morning for me? Dear Lord, God, we take electricity for granted. We flip on a switch, and it's there. God, help us to be just as confident in your power, because your power is more consistent than our electricity. God, help us to see how you've moved us from being Ahab's to being Elijah's. Lord, would you help us to celebrate your promises even before they're here? Would you help us to act on them? Help us to prepare for them. Help us to pray through them. And Lord, help us to serve in your power. God, I pray for anyone who's here this morning that doesn't know you. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be just calling out to them to let them know of your love and your desire to work in their lives, God. God, you don't call us to clean up and then come to you. You say, you love us, you want us right now, and you'll do the work on us too. So God, I pray that if anyone hasn't trusted you as their Savior, they would trust you right now. Cry out to you and thank you for the forgiveness of their sins. Thank you for the promises of eternal life that you've given. Thank you for the promises of a new start that you give, God. And would you help us to act on those things? God, thank you for those who serve even in difficult places and are serving you, serving their families, serving their kids and their wives. Thank you for moms who are serving in difficult spots. Thank you for kids who are learning what it's like to serve even in difficult minimum wage jobs at times, God. Lord, all of those things put us in a place to be reminded. You served us first. Help us to serve one another, Lord, as we serve you first and foremost. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you for the example of Elijah. God, we look forward to the days that maybe we are used to run 17 miles or something else incredible. Maybe we're just praying for a little rain too, God. May you do your work in us. In your son's name we pray.